What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to the Challenge Weekly Show. We're here with Coach Steve and Coach Nick.
Hi, Coach Steve. How are you going?
I'm really well. How are you today?
Very good, thanks.
Now, Nick, today we are going to be talking all about gym intimidation or gym-timidation. We're just going to amalgamate those two words. So do you want to take us through what is gym and intimidation? Like, how would you define it?
Okay, so I think from what I'm gathering, from feedback that we've had just from newbies going into the gym, and if you take yourself back to your first gym experience, it can feel very overwhelming. There are so many different areas, not to mention the people. So you don't know if you're in someone's way. You feel overwhelmed. You may feel overwhelmed by the exercises anyway, so let alone the actual environment. So I think it's just this big ball of fear about the gym, and it can get to you. You can even go in there and possibly have a full plan for your workout and end up on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Or the stepper.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Yeah, like that intimidation really comes with lots of fears, anxieties, and it can really impact our, you know, overall performance, right? Like if you go to the gym and, you know, you may be a little bit worried, a little bit intimidated, a little bit anxious, you know, you're not going to be able to push yourself hard. You're not going to be in a position to maybe get a little bit sweaty, get a little bit hot and bothered, maybe put yourself in a position where you might look a little bit different to the way you walked in, maybe, you know, red face, sweaty, those types of things. So, you know, part of it is to find strategies to overcome that intimidation. But you know, we're not all immune to it, right? You know, we've all kind of had our own intimidation stories. And Nick, I'm sure you've had your first times.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your first time maybe going to the gym, or maybe first memories of going to a gym?
Yeah. So, I mean, there have been various times in my life when I've gone to the gym, but the very first time that I went to when I was about 17, 18 with my dad. He would take me. And at the time, he had a part-time job cleaning and fixing the machines at this particular gym. But it was the hub. It was recreation in Armidale at the time, like a great gym, all good. Not there anymore. A different gym now. But it was the mecca of everything. So it was extremely busy. Lots of people constantly needing machines and other things. Definitely not as many machines as there are in the gyms now. Mm. And had my dad not been there to guide me through, I reckon I would have walked out, because it was very, very scary at first. It slowly becomes, with little rituals and routines, it can become very familiar, but that takes time. So that initial feeling is normal. Walking in and seeing the receptionist even, and they might not even be talking, they might scan your card and you might just go, I don't even know where to go, but I'm going to pretend.
Yeah.
You know.
You're kind of like walking with almost like a purpose. You're like, oh yeah, I'm going to go towards this corner of the room to like a drink fountain and just fill up my water bottle and try to figure out where I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my first kind of experience. Maybe just not my very, very first experience, but like my earliest memory of going to a gym. It was back in high school, and we had a gym at my high school. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like how I was introduced to weightlifting and exercise and fitness and everything in between. And I was pretty lucky to go to a school that had a gym there.
Yeah.
I went to an all boys school, so I went to Melbourne High. Shout out to any old boys doing the challenge. Yeah. So I remember I was in year 9, so I would have been maybe 14, 15 at the time. And I remember, you know, I was quite, you know, not happy with the way I looked, you know, quite sensitive about certain things about my body, and really anxious to kind of get started in the gym, because I knew that would change the way I looked. And I walked into the gym, and I remember seeing in the corner of the room, over by the squat racks, there were these year 12, so you know, they were 18, right? And you know, the difference between when you're 14 and 18 is quite a big jump, but now I look at 18-year-olds and I'm like, oh, okay, you're a little bit younger than me. but I remember they were 18 and they seemed like gods, right? Because like, I was like, oh, these guys have developed, they've gone through maturity, they were like rowers, and they were like bigger boys. And I remember that I didn't want to look like a small dude next to them. I didn't want to look like I was doing something wrong, because then I would be embarrassed that I was doing something wrong. Especially when, you know, these guys were kind of like taking over that kind of section of the gym. Because, you know, they were training, they had their programs and such. And of course, they were having a fun time what they were doing. You know, they were loud, they were rowdy, much of like what I am now when I'm in the gym. But for me, I was super uncomfortable. And I remember just being very slow to kind of get introduced into some of the weight, and I'd always stay down near the dumbbells. I'd never go over to like the bigger weights, like barbells, or even some of the machines. I wouldn't like go near, because I didn't want to look like an idiot if I was sitting on it the wrong way,
backwards,
right?
Yeah.
Um, then I remember like night and day, I was doing a dumbbell chest press over on the bar on near the dumbbells, right? And one of the boys, didn't know his name, still couldn't tell his name now. He came over and he's like, hey man, like, do you want to come over and bench with us? And I was like, oh, are you sure? Like, you know? And he's like, yeah, no, it's fine. Like, come over. So he kind of invited me over to like that area of the gym, and I was kind of like inducted into their group.
Yeah.
And I guess these guys became like my kind of mini mentors for that short period before they kind of left the school and stuff. Where they kind of introduced me into that side of weightlifting. So I went from a really naive, early beginner, taken on board by these guys. And then, you know, now I'm in a position to help other people. So now when I'm in the gym, I'm that loud, rowdy person.
Yeah.
But I'm always remember my starting point where, you know, I was helped by someone else, and now it's almost my duty to help the next person.
Yeah, right? And that's nice. And when you do find the gyms that have got those people, they're very kind, and that's all you need is usually just one helping hand, and you're on your way. It's just getting past that initial hurdle and finding your ritual that works for you.
Yeah, I think it's so important that we do kind of look for ways to overcome this intimidation, right?
Yeah.
You know, both from like an outcomes-based idea, like if you are feeling so anxious and intimidated and fearful in the gym that you're not going to perform, okay, you're going to be going to the gym for a really long time before you notice any change, right? You're going to hold on to that fear for a really long time before you start pushing yourself hard, which is what we're trying to achieve in the challenge.
That's right.
So I guess, you know, Nick, I was in an interesting situation where I had people to kind of mentor me and guide me through it. You know, like what kind of strategies could people take if they are feeling a little bit intimidated in the gym? Like, what steps could they take to become less intimidated?
Yeah, firstly, I would say if it's your first time stepping into a gym, it'd be a really good idea to get somebody on board, such as a trainer that's in that gym, to show you around. Now, book a session with that trainer. It's even worth paying because they might be able to help you with your technique and look at your program and tell you where in the gym to go for each thing that you're going to do, which is going to be so important for you, even just knowing the layout and knowing which direction you're supposed to go in, because it's like we're lucky it's repetitive. You're going to repeat this over and over again for years and years to come. So once you've learnt it once and gone through it a few times, there's really nothing to be scared of, but you need to get to that point. So I would probably be looking to get somebody from the gym to help you out, and most gyms have that. If you've got a 24/7 gym, in a way, it's kind of cool too, because they're often very quiet. So I pick a pretty quiet time to go in, and I would have a look at each machine. And on each machine, there is an instruction manual as to how to use each machine. It's just that people don't want to look like they're reading it. Have you ever done that?
Where you're like,
oh, I'm not reading what it says, because I'm supposed to know, you know, because there's a lot of fancy stuff.
See, I sit there and actually read them. And sometimes, like, some of the instructions that they give are really, like, odd and random.
Yeah,
or, like, when they say like what muscle it trains, I'm like, I don't know if that would train that muscle, right? So I get really, I'm a bit of a weirdo like that, but I'm that guy that goes onto a machine and then figures out ways to like modify the machine, right? I'm that one. I reckon there's probably videos of me out there on like those meme channels of doing like some
gym
weird
fail.
Things. Gym fails. No, they're gym wins.
Yeah, gym wins.
Gym wins.
Yeah.
If you see like half the stuff I'm doing in my home gym at the moment, I'm a little bit of a crazy mad scientist with some of the exercises I do. But look, I think at the end of the day, you know, when it comes down to like figuring out how to use those machines, like, there is a right way. There's some wronger ways, if that's a word. But there's definitely a spectrum. And, you know, you might be in a position like myself where I feel a little bit more confident to read the thing and look at the machine and figure out ways that I can modify it to feel different things.
Yes.
I'm sure people look at me like I'm a weirdo, but then I'm not fussed at that at all. And most of the time, people aren't even looking at me. Like,
no,
why do people look at me?
Right? Yeah, I think... We think everyone's looking at us, but really everybody's got their own things that they're worrying about, and what they're worrying about is everybody looking at them. So if only we could all read each other's brains, only for this, just to know that most people want the best for you.
Yeah.
That they'll see you and they'll think, that's great that you're in the gym, if they think at all about you.
Yeah.
So
look, I can attest to that. Like, when I go to the gym, most of the times, after I've said like hello and done my little social dance around, you know, it's training time, and no one else exists in the gym except me in that moment. And, you know, like, sure, there's other people around. I couldn't tell you who was there or what was going on. I couldn't even tell you what music was playing in the gym because I'm, like, so focused on what I'm doing. So if you feel that everyone's looking at you, there's a high chance that they're more they're more interested in the way that their biceps look or what training they're doing at the moment.
100%. Right? Or they might be sitting there worrying about something else, you know. So, I mean, a good way to zone out from the world could be to make your favorite playlist with songs that you know make you feel pumped. So maybe not like quiet, you know, jazz or something like that. Maybe something that you know empowers you.
Unless jazz empowers you.
Well, that's true. No, but jazz can empower you to just be like cool and calm. But yeah, of course, if it empowers you to lift heavy, then you go with that jazz.
What's your go-to playlist style?
Oh, look, if I want to get absolutely pumped, say teaching spin or whatever, I'll put like Kickstart My Heart on. Like,
yeah,
like,
okay.
You know, oh yeah,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. So, but I like I don't mind a bit of heavy metal, that sort of stuff. If I'm lifting, you know, I like things that are going to pump me up because generally, I'm reasonably. Oh, you wouldn't know it, but I'm reasonably quiet. So when I'm in the gym, I need to get that side of me out, that little bit of aggression that's required to lift those heavy weights.
Yeah.
So I like that sort of a playlist.
Yeah.
I really do. But also, I'm a big fan, Steve, of podcasts. So I often will listen to, if I need to just feel a little bit pumped, I'll listen to something motivational. So even all those YouTube things that go, you can do it one day at a time, things like that, I still play that to myself.
Get hype.
Every
yeah.
day if I'm a little bit tired, I'll pop something like that on. You know, you're never too old or down the track in training to get motivated by things like that.
Yeah.
And it puts you into your zone and you can remember your reason why you came in, and also that everyone's equal and everyone's just as entitled to use the gym as you are.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm talking about music. I think I'm similar to you. Like, I do enjoy some heavy metal.
Yeah.
I do enjoy a lot of like punk rock, Fall Out Boy and stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
I love
Fall
Out Boy.
And then recently I was listening to some hip hop playlists with a bit of Eminem and stuff.
Yes.
That was
pretty. Yeah, Eminem's always
pretty
dope. Fantastic. Always.
But I think I'm like you as well. Like, I would listen to a podcast quite frequently.
Yeah.
I listen to actually audiobooks quite frequently. But then, of course, you know, lots of it depends, right? Like, you know, if I'm trying to peak in my cycle, you know, maybe I'll be listening to something a little bit heavier. But then if I'm kind of like just going through a sensitization phase or something like that, I might just choose to listen to something a little bit lower. But you're right. I think music really helps to kind of create your own bubble, right?
Yeah.
Like when you enter the gym, like no one else exists. You put your headphones on, great,
yeah,
happy days. And it's similar to, let's say, you know, you going on the train, right? If you were taking the train, public transport,
so
you're on a bus
true.
Or something like that, and you want to enter your like your little
personal space bubble,
cone of
silence,
right?
You do that.
No one's going to talk. Well, you're less likely to have people come and talk to you if you've got headphones on. You know, you don't know. You're kind of like desensitized a little bit, so you're just focusing in your
that's
zone.
That's right. And because trains are reasonably crowded places, this is the same theory. When you go into the gym, it's exactly that. You're just protecting your space, and it's a really good way to do that. You can even, you can put headphones on and not even have anything going in the headphones.
Yeah.
You know, that's also another thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a message like, you know, no one talked to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like one of my first jobs, I was working in the YMCA, and you know, they're very much a community gym. And then I think recently there's been a big rise in, like, you know, you said the 24-hour, you know, 24/7 gym where, you know, maybe the unmanned, you just got a little like key dongle, you walk in, you do your session. So I was always in this like community feeling in the gym. So I think like deep down, the gym is always seen to me as like a semi-social space where maybe I, you know, watched Pumping Iron too many times, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, you see Arnie kind of talking about this, like, you know, you go to the gym, you're there with your buddies and it's a fun environment.
Yeah.
So for me, I want to promote that to people, as in, like, you know, think of the gym as like your second home, as like, you know, you say hi to the people at the reception, you say hi to the other personal trainers that are there, say hi to the cleaner if they're there, you know, you might see some regulars if you go and train at the same time, even just like a little head nod or like a hey, you know, it could really warm you up into the environment. Then soon you'll become like part of the furniture where it's like, okay, you're part of the 6 a.m. crew, you're there every morning, you know, and it makes me feel at home when I go to a gym like that.
It's a great feeling. There's no better feeling. I think that's why I ended up working in fitness, because of that feeling.
Yep.
You know, you want to be around people that are like that all the time. Once you start to get a taste of it, because people are so happy to celebrate you for your little wins.
Yep.
And they're happy to do stuff like spot you if you're doing, I think somebody in the forum got a PB on their leg press when they were scared to even go in there. So you know, some people are happy to spot people on the leg press.
Yeah.
It's a very communal thing because everyone's going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's an
yeah.
equalizer, if
yeah.
anything. You just got to allow that to happen because you're missing out if you don't sort of let that fear go.
Mm. And it's almost like you need to consciously make an effort to engage,
yeah.
right? Like, let's say in the gym, you know, you have to consciously, like, kind of like, look the person in the eye, give them like a head nod or something like that. Or, you know, like, oh, hey, bro, like, what are you training today? You know, like
yeah.
that type of conversation. You know, many times I've had that conversation
yeah.
with people, no idea what their names are. It's like, hey, bro, like,
bro, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, it's classic bro science. Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, but like now, I guess in the challenge, in, you know, this modern times where everything's connected through the internet, you know, we have things like the forum, we have things like the Facebook group where maybe you do train at home and you're by yourself. You don't have that gym culture.
Mm.
Maybe you train at a 24/7 gym at 2 o'clock in the morning and you don't have that fitness culture.
Yeah.
You know, we have online communities that have that. So
and
you can post.
Very supportive.
Right.
Us, yeah.
And, you know, we do find that on the Facebook group, we look at the statistics and there's a small number of people that post quite frequently.
Mm.
And if you're listening to this and you're in the Facebook group, you could probably name those people as well because they
yeah.
post frequently. They utilize the online spaces to support their gym culture, which they might not have in their gym.
Mm.
And it's like from our point of view, it's really cool to see another person being involved in the fitness culture. And I mean,
definitely.
Our point of view, less as coaches, more as like, you know, trainees ourselves, you know, I see someone else training, I'm like, yeah, I want to train. Right?
Yeah. Deadlifts, every time I get pumped, every time someone posts their deadlifts, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to deadlift now.
So this is our invitation to you, if you're listening to this, is to join the fitness culture, to join us on Facebook or Instagram or on the forum and post your wins, post when you're training, give us your gym selfies,
yeah.
you know, post when you're going to the gym, like engage in the community because it's the classic, you only get out what you put in.
That's
right.
And you wait until you do that, people, you won't even know like how many people actually just want to applaud you and tell you what a great thing
yep.
that you've done. And then you'll realize that it all falls away, the fear falls away, and there's so many other things in this world to be scared of. So going to the gym shouldn't be one of those.
Yeah.
It needs to be something to be celebrated.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Just adding on to that, still talking about statistics. Interesting one. The Maxine Challenge winner last time in the September Challenge, Maria Kashiri, she won the Maxine's Challenge, and she was also the most active person in the Facebook group.
Right.
And looking at some statistics, there was one point where she was over a 28-day period, so 1 month, she did something like 500 plus comments, right?
Wow.
So that's the equivalent of like almost 20 comments a day on people's
yeah.
posts, right? And not only posting herself, liking and engaging. So
mm.
Maria, if you're listening to this, we see how many times you're engaging in the group, but I think that highlights, you know, something even more powerful, you know, being part of that community, stepping away from a private veil where you're slightly hiding behind your computer or your phone or just maybe watching from the sidelines or maybe lurking in the group, to taking that step and posting about yourself and identifying yourself as a person, because you're a person. You're not just a number. You're not just no one that doesn't exist. You exist to us.
Yeah.
And once you start posting and exposing yourself to the challenge community, to your gym community, then we see these really amazing transformations where you now become accountable to something more powerful. You become accountable to this online thing, to this community, whatever that is, and you can get these really amazing results because you're no longer hiding behind this, you know, false mask or whatever language you want to use, but you've now shown yourself. So this is our invitation to you
yeah.
to say hello, to show
absolutely.
Us who you are.
Come to the lives.
Come
you
to
know,
the, yeah.
come to the lives, visit me, because then I'll get to see you, and if you're not there the next week, I'll wonder where you are. And you know, things like that, that's just that all you need are a few people just to believe in you.
Yeah.
And you're on your way. And yeah, with the forum and the Facebook group, that's a ready-made community.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, when I go to the gym, I have my routine, right? So I walk in, say hi to the reception, walk towards the water fountain. That's always my go-to, walk towards the water fountain. The water fountain's just next to the toilet, so if I need to go to the toilet, come back out, water fountain. If I see like a personal trainer that I know or something like that, I'll say hi, whatever, stool the water fountain. And then once I go to the water spot,
yep.
then you know, I normally have a pre-planned idea in my mind. You know, I kind of have like my workout, all right, I'm training, you know, maybe lower body first, starting my squats, all right, I open up my program on my phone and then I head towards the squat rack. So I have this kind of like starting routine that kind of triggers everything. Mm-hmm. Do you have something similar? Do you have like a little routine that you do before you kind of like start?
Oh, absolutely.
Anything?
I mean, firstly, like it all starts with the activewear. So
mm-hmm.
activewear of choice, depending on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Got all that going. And then I have different shoes for each thing. So I've got
mm-hmm.
the squat shoes. So
yeah.
if I'm squatting, I'll make sure I've got that. I've got everything ready. If I'm having pre-workout, I'll have that. I'll have whatever it is that I need to have before I get in there.
Mm-hmm.
I go at the same time, so I'll wave at the people on the treadmills, walk past there, go to the water fountain,
same as
you,
mm-hmm.
And do any type of warm-up exercises. And I usually sit down and just do a bit of stretching and stuff. And if I need to, if I feel like, oh, I need to just gauge the energy of the place, it gives me a good way to just see who's where
mm-hmm.
and see what squat rack I might like to use
mm-hmm.
or what looks busy or who's using what. So I even, you know, as an experienced trainer, I do that for
mm-hmm.
myself as well, just to know what's going to be the most efficient way
mm-hmm.
to get everything done.
Yeah. Especially when you look over the squat racks and then maybe they're all being used.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
And then you think, well, what could I do today
mm-hmm.
to swap that around? Because
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be sitting there forever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, if you really get brave, you can say, can I work in with somebody?
Mm.
You can look at, but that's the next level. You don't really need to do that there because you know, there might be alternatives, or you can wait. Usually someone's nearly finished, or you can swap it around.
Yeah. Always seems to work out.
Yeah, it does. It just does.
Yeah.
I've always wondered that. It's like a train thing, you know, one person comes, one person goes. At the moment, I've also got to practice my posing in heels in
mm-hmm.
the gym, so that's something different, and I have to remember that nobody is really watching that. So
mm.
even that's me used to everything, and
mm.
that's a new thing that I will do at the end of my session.
Yeah.
And I'll just look crazy and silly in the mirror
mm.
to myself practicing, but if I don't practice, I won't get it right. So that's a new thing, so I do that at the end. And I just, with that one, I do try to make sure that I'm out of people's way, because
mm-hmm.
it's the last thing people want, because the deadlift platform's got the best heel traction.
Right, okay.
And it's like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I'm one of those people.
Using the deadlift platform, yeah.
But,
it's like curling in the squat rack.
Oh, exactly. It's the worst. It's the worst. But, any type of, when I'm doing a deadlift, I love to do a nice warm-up and then have a bit of a walk around, have a bit of a chat to people, because I'm a little bit social, and
mm.
then walk back and do the rest. Always have to be dead on in the zone.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find that that'll make me a bit looser and not stress too much about the bigger weights coming.
Yeah.
But other times, it depends what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
I might sort of just walk in and not speak to anyone, and I'm allowed
mm.
to do that too,
yeah.
you know.
There's definitely times where I walk in, yeah, like I might not be the social butterfly. I just want headphones on, like,
yeah,
just nobody talks to me. I got things going on. I need to train and then get out of here.
I know.
Yeah.
And see,
yeah.
people sometimes even wonder about that. And you just go, oh, it's such a busy day.
Yeah.
You know, because especially because we're quite social normally. So, you know, that you have to deal with when you're in a group of people. But people are pretty understanding, and they just want to have their training.
Yeah.
But yeah, the main take home from that is that you and I both have a plan before we go in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And if there's a, for it sounds like both of us are drawn towards that water fountain. Like that's the starting point.
It's the well. It's like
it's
the
well
from,
you know.
Yeah.
I've got a fun joke so that you remember the water fountain.
Okay.
What's a ninja's favorite drink?
What?
Water.
Oh my god, that's cute.
There you go. So if you want to be a ninja, head to the water fountain.
Yeah.
That's a starting spot. So if you're feeling a little bit intimidated, feeling a little bit lost, not sure what to do, walk in, say hi to the reception, always say hi, and then head towards that drink fountain, make sure you fill that with water, then you know, have a look around, see what's going on, and then I guess for me, like after that, I would kind of like be moving towards maybe like that mobility section for me, and that's where I'm kind of like there, just eyeing off the scene, be like, all right, who's here, who's going to be like my bro for the day, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So like once someone's, you know, built up a bit of courage to, you know, go to the gym, they're saying hi to the reception, they're filling up their water bottle, maybe they're, you know, looking at a few machines, they're starting to read the labels on the machines, maybe like, you know, feeling comfortable to do that. How would someone slowly build themselves up to be that crazy person like us in the corner with the chalk slapping around, the getting pumped up for the sets, you know, how can people build themselves up to be
that transition to that
gym character?
The funny thing is, like, weights actually, they are an automatic confidence booster.
Mm.
So you just keep doing your program, and one day you're going to have people looking up to you going, how do you do that?
Mm.
So it just happens. It's the circle of life in the gym, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like it just happens. One day you're going to be holding your Simba,
yeah,
your dumbbell
in
the air. It just happens.
Yeah.
You've got to sort of, you do your time with all the machines and all the other things and just stick to your program.
Mm.
And as you get stronger, there'll be someone else that's going, how does he or she do that? What's going on? But also, yeah, don't be afraid. At first, the machines actually are the ones that people often do.
Mm.
Don't be afraid to then go to the dumbbells. Dumbbells are loose things. They're good. Then after that, the scariest are usually the barbells and the platforms.
Mm.
So even if you practice just loading up a barbell, you don't even do anything with it the first time, but you just get used to that, the environment, the taking the weights off, putting them on, and you go, oh, I did that today. You know, that kind of a thing. Or just go and hold a barbell.
Mm.
You know, just get familiar with it, the way that was. Which one do you like the best? Do an experiment with that.
Yeah.
And realize that no one's going to tell you off for getting a barbell down.
That's
on
it.
The wall.
As long as you pack it away.
Oh, that's
important.
Another thing. Yeah, don't be that person. Pack it up. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
That's sort of unwritten gym etiquette. But
you'll
know that because you'll be sussing it all out.
Mm.
And yeah, if when you do get to be a chalk clapping person, the intimidation, it'll fall away, and it's a magical thing. You just have to get past that fear. It's like any type of fear. It's like when I used to go down the hill in the Noosa Triathlon, and I just was so scared, so intimidated every single time, and then it would be done really quickly, and I didn't have to go in the ambulance, and I'd be like, that was so much fun. But I had to do it first, you know, not die.
Yeah.
And the only way to do it is sometimes with fear, you've got to go, okay, I feel scared, but fear is not going to take the wheel today.
Yeah.
It's not going to drive this bus, you know.
Yeah. I think sometimes you can use fear to, like, really push you.
Oh,
right?
You should be scared of, like, when you get to the point when you're not intimidated to go into the gym, you should then sort of flip it around and be scared to go into the gym because of your program, right?
Because you know what you got to do.
Yeah, and that's a different type of fear. Like, if it's between you and the weights and you're scared of that, then that's fine.
That's fine.
That's a good intimidation.
That's a good fear.
Yeah.
Now, Nick, you seem like a competitive person. Would you describe yourself as a competitive person?
I'd like to say no, but yes.
No, but yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I am.
Yeah.
I really am.
Mm.
I'm sick of denying it.
Yeah. Like when I train with, like, my quote bros, you know, I'm the strongest when I'm training with my quote bros compared to when I'm just training by myself.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I work really well in these social environments when I'm training with someone because I'm, like, almost a little bit competitive. I'm almost comparing myself to them and being like, okay, I'm, you know, if they're benching this much, I've got to, like, bench as well. And, you know, that has its limitations because, you know, we do want to have some sort of structured program. We're not just trying to, you know, push ourselves to positions where we might injure ourselves, you know, apply too much load, you know, just mess up our programming, these types of things. But I remember when I was at my community gym and I was training with a buddy of mine, and this guy was just like a bench press freak, right? You know, I remember watching him load up 140 kilos, three plates, and he was just doing it for 10 reps, like it was nothing, right? And I was like, who is this guy, right? Anyway, so I was training with him, and I would always feel kind of intimidated training with him because he made, you know, this big load so easy, whereas, you know, I would be struggling with, you know, 80 kilos, 90 kilos, these types of things where he was just, you know, repping it out, right? And then I wanted to get better. So I wanted to be in a position where I could be, like, on par with him. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
But there was a moment, you know, maybe a few months after that where I was benching and, you know, I was benching maybe 100 or something. So a little bit more and, you know, two plates on, you feel like, all right, great. I'm boss king man, right? Bench man. And this guy kind of walked past and he's like, oh man, do you play AFL? And I was like, no. And I'm horrible at AFL. I'm probably the worst Australian going around. Don't play AFL. But it was in that moment that I realized that this guy, you know, he stopped to talk to me, you know, in the AFL. I was like, no. He's like, wow, like, you know, you bench a lot. Do you play any sports like this? I'm like, no, just, you know, just do weightlifting. He's like, oh, wow. He was so impressed by what I was lifting because comparative to him, I was being what my buddy was to me, to this guy, where I was looking at my mate who, you know, was able to bench press much more than me without taking a moment to appreciate what I was doing and then how I was then being like this inspiration type thing for this other person. So my point I'm saying is that if you feel that maybe you're not lifting enough, like you're going to the gym, you're only at maybe the 5 kilo dumbbells in the corner of the room doing, you know, like some chest press or something like that. But then over in the other side of the room, there's, you know, some big burly guy and he's squatting 200 kilos for reps. You know, don't compare yourself to that person, unless you're competitive, because that can be a good driving factor, because remember that you are an inspiration to someone else, because someone else might be looking at you being like, oh wow, that person has the 5 kilo dumbbells, I can't even lift those yet, right? Have you ever been in that kind of situation where like other people have looked up to you, or maybe you've looked up to the other people and you kind of forgot where you were, where you're like, wow. You
know? Oh, I've trained in some gyms where I've started off lifting, you know, the heaviest and really amazing things. And then I've seen women walk in who can do, you know, triple their body weight in a deadlift just like that. And I had to think to myself, well, they've been training specifically for that, but how inspirational, how good is it to be surrounded by that energy? How, like, I love the buzz of everybody trying to go, you know, hit their PBs and things like that. And when people forget about what weights everyone else is lifting and just realize that we're all in this together. So at different like meets and things that I've been at, I've helped people get their PBs just by sort of coaching them a little bit. And their PB might be, it doesn't matter. It might just be someone else's warm up. It just doesn't matter because it's what they can do at the time, and everybody just celebrates that so much. And there's really no judgment with that. We put judgments onto ourselves. But yeah, like I get a lot of people saying, I wish that I could lift what you lift, and the only reason that I can is because I've gone through all this and gone through in my mind different things that have stopped me and gotten through that barrier. And you know, I mean, there's many times where I probably could have walked out of somewhere and never come back. So what's gotten me through? Just the community, the ritual, you know, the routine, the habit. That's what you've got to create.
Ready for a personal question?
Go for it.
All right. So talking about different genders, guys, girls, okay. You're a strong lifter.
Yes.
You lift a lot.
Yes.
So have you, A, ever been in a position where you feel intimidated that a guy is lifting more than you? Or B, have you ever felt that a guy's been intimidated because you're lifting more than them? Have you ever experienced that kind of dynamic before?
I would have to say, I don't mind what any guy is doing. So like, that's cool. I reckon maybe the other way.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
But you know what happens though? It's never a negative thing, because then people will come up to me and say, whoa, how'd you just do that?
Yeah.
That's really good. But also I've had some amazing coaches and mentors around me that have celebrated that. And then they've gone, oh, that person over there is going, oh, they can't lift what you lift. So, you know, that kind of a thing where I kind of go into my zone. But definitely, and I've had nothing but encouragement and admiration from those people just saying, wow, that's amazing. You know, so I haven't ever had anyone go, oh, I can't believe, you know, oh, you lifted that in a weird way, or nobody sort of said that, not even on Instagram, which is like the place. If anyone's gonna say it, they're gonna say it. But that's why I love fitness and the gym so much, because it's so not like school.
No,
like school is the place where all that happens, but whereas this is nothing like school. It's the only place that I've ever really fitted in. I've not had a dude. I've never really worried about a dude lifting more. It's like sometimes I go, can I use your barbell or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a thing. Or can
we work I'm going to warm up. Are you done with that? Yeah.
I love that though. Because I remember my first thing when I first walked into a gym other than the one with my dad was I said, I want, one day I want my, what is it? You know that thing about the warm up weight being someone else's max or whatever? I said, I want to be that person who.
To do something like that.
So. I thrive off that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought we'd bring that up because, you know, like I'm sure that there's many girls out there that might look at some of the weights that some guys are lifting, either a male beginner who might be have more muscle than a girl, or someone who's been training for a while. You know, that could be intimidating. You know, if I'm in the gym and I'm deadlifting, you know, 100, 200 kilos or whatever, and you're on the other side and you're deadlifting 40 kilos, that doesn't matter. Like, you know, you're in your own zone.
It doesn't make a difference.
Then the other way around, you know, I've seen girls lift way more than me. And part of it is a little attack on my ego, you know.
Do you feel,
No, if anything, I think it's impressive. Yeah. Like, you know, I watch world-class powerlifters. And at the moment, you know, you follow some female powerlifters in the same weight class as some guys.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, challenging some of the world records. And it's like, okay, well, you know, we're really starting to break down some barriers around female strength, right?
Yep.
You watch people like Steffi Cohen on Instagram. She's strong, right?
Very
strong, very, very like short, as in, you know, a smaller body than me, but lifts way more than me. So part of it is, oh, geez, like, you know, what is the human potential is, which is I'm excited about. Deep down, like, you know, wow, they made it look so easy, but heck, if it's a guy or a girl and they make their weight look easy, I'm like, that's impressive, right?
Yes.
Heck, even going about our conversation last time about Olympic weightlifting, I'd watch some of the female 80 kilo Olympic weightlifters and they're, you know, clean and jerking 160 kilos. And here I am struggling with like my 120. And I'm like, wow, they're lighter than me and they're like
they're
pressing way
stuff
more, right?
Over their head that you can deadlift and
so, you know, am I intimidated by that? No. Like, does it attack my ego deep down? Like, a little bit, sure. But, you know, that's no reason for me to give up. There's no reason for me to stop. And if anything, I see that as almost inspiration, being like, wow, like, if they can do it, I can do it. You know, if that person who has less muscle than me, you know, a lighter body weight than me can do it, you know, and make it look easy, like, I can do it too.
Yeah.
So I see that as inspiration rather than intimidation.
I've only ever had, even like, even teaching assault bike classes, I've only ever had the guys say, oh wow, you know, epic, how do I do that? Or I can't do as many classes as you, and things like that. And that's only happened from me starting somewhere and just going, okay, I like this, I'm going to just keep practicing and practicing. You know, when you just keep practicing and practicing, and eventually you become good at it because you put in so many hours. So there's no need to do it to that extreme, but so you can feel comfy, you've just got to put the hours in, and just suddenly that yucky feeling of discontent just goes away from your tummy about going to the gym.
So let's summarize what we've kind of been talking about today.
Okay.
So the first big thing would be to have a plan. Going to a gym, have a plan. Because I think one of the worst things you could do is go to the gym and just be like, well, what am I going to do today?
Right. Yeah, I think so. Because you will fall into the trap if you don't just walk straight out and do a lap. You'll fall into the trap of getting on the elliptical machine.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. 20 minutes later at like a 10-20% effort, you know, you're a bit sweaty and you leave.
Because you could have done a walk around the block. So don't pay your gym membership. Just do that.
So first step, have a plan. Next would be to have a routine, right?
Yeah.
So for us, we're going to the water fountain. We're being ninjas. Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, your routine could be anything. So you might walk in and then head straight to like the mobility section, grab a foam roller, roll out for a bit and then get ready. Or maybe you walk in and you say hi to the reception, talk about the day, whatever it is. But you know, have that routine to get you set up.
You might go to your first station, whatever it is, you know. But yeah, just do scope the place out and suss out how busy it is and who's got what and where you want to fit in.
Yeah. You can create your cone of silence if you need to with some headphones.
Headphones, playlist.
Yep. Yep, you can listen to the challenge podcast while you're
working out.
Absolutely.
Yep, lots of good info there. Hopefully you're listening to it now while you're working out.
Yes.
Work harder.
Then, you know, we can start maybe with some baby steps. Maybe you start with the dumbbells, maybe some machines that you look familiar to you before you build up to maybe some more complicated movements like, I don't know, a barbell clean and jerk or something like that. So we slowly build ourselves up to the platform or something like that. I think the big one would be to you know, set those mini goals. You know, every day maybe you want to try a new exercise or a new machine. And finally, you know, to basically fake it, right?
Yeah, so, fake it till you make it. That's what you do. It's okay. You know, just pretend that you know everything, and one day you will. Because if you go into it thinking that you don't know anything or that it's going to be intimidating, you might not even know why or how. It just happens.
Embrace the gym character that we are.
Yep.
And, you know, if you were someone who go to the gym, what would you do? You'd have your sweat towel, you'd have your drink bottle, you'd have your headphones on, you'd have your program,
be prepared.
You'd be just like Scar in Lion King.
Yeah, ready.
Be prepared.
Be prepared. Oh my gosh, why is it so Lion King today? Hakuna Matata, no worries.
No worries.
Okay, that's what we want you to feel about the gym.
The gym.
Hakuna Matata.
No worries. Make it your second home.
Yeah.
Pride Rock.
Yep.
Yep.
Pride Rock.
With all the lions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pride Rock. That's what the gym should be.
All right. Let's wrap it up there. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll catch you next time on the Challenge Weekly Show.
Thanks, guys.